If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today's guest was so fun to talk to. I told her at the end that I really wanted to be friends with her, but today I'm talking to SC Perot. She is the author of the book Styles of Joy, and that's what we talk about today. We talk about joy. We talk about how a very unexpected change of her life, including losing a career she thought she had wanted, going through a really difficult divorce, led her to falling in love with Harry Styles music, but way more than that, really causing her, how her journey through grief caused her to think critically about joy, what brings people joy, why do we not cultivate joy as much as we probably would like to. So in this episode, we talk about joy. Where does it come from? How do we find it? How do we protect our joy? Why do we sometimes think joy is silly? How judgment and jealousy are really the antidotes of joy? So fun. So many great little analogies she shared and little nuggets. And I think her experience of this stemming from a divorce really informed this to being such a positive conversation for anyone going through a breakup. So her book is out today. Highly recommend everyone goes out and orders it, Styles of Joy, and really hopefully we'll have her back on because this was a joy for me to do. This was such a joyful conversation. So very excited for you all to hear it too. Welcome, SC, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Very excited to have you on to talk about joy today.
It's my favorite subject. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's get some backstory of what led you. I mean, I'm sure what, like 10 years ago, you didn't think you'd be writing a book on what you wrote. And so I would love to get some backstory of what led you to do this.
So I'm having a hard time keeping a straight face as you asked that question of, did you see this life plot twist coming? Absolutely not, under any circumstances. I was the rule follower. I was very conventional, traditional. I went to Vanderbilt for undergrad. I went to law school after that, was practicing law. I married my longtime boyfriend, and we were living in Austin, Texas. But all of a sudden, you know, the pandemic hit. I stopped practicing law. I went through a brutal divorce. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, what is going on? And I joke with people now, you know, the thing about having your ducks in a row is you don't realize they're in a row until they're very much not. You know, you think that's just, you're just kind of smooth sailing until you're like, do I even have ducks anymore? I mean, what is going on? Let alone like ducks in a row. And, you know, we had this great house and we had our 2 cute dogs. And all of a sudden, I went through this nuclear season of loss and was really left asking these big questions. And one of them was, where am I? What's happening? What's next? Who am I? What do I do? Where do I live? I mean, everything was rocked by this. And I started processing everything I was going through by going on really long walks around Town Lake Trail in Austin, Texas. And that sad girl typed good energy in on Spotify because that sad girl needed some good energy. And sure enough, Spotify fed me a playlist called Good Energy, and Harry Styles' third album, Harry's House, came out 2 days after I told my then-husband I wanted a divorce. I'd never listened to Harry Styles. Fast forward, I became a super fan, and I had a Harry Styles-themed Eat, Pray, Love adventure, and I saw his concert on Love on Tour 17 times in 5 countries, and I traveled with strangers I met along the way, stayed in hostels, did the full bit, and along the way, I started asking myself a lot of big questions about joy. What is joy? Who has it? Who doesn't have it? Does everyone want it? And if not, why not? And I had never thought critically about joy ever in my life. And I started writing about it, thinking I was going to write an article for maybe, I'm not sure, Rolling Stone or Modern Love, New York Times. And I had never written anything before. And sat down to write an article and a book came out. So here we are.
The Harry Styles Eat, Pray, Love is such a good way to describe it. So when did joy first register for you? Did it feel like a foreign feeling? I think so many people are like, do I feel joy? How do I even know? Was it something that popped up and you were like, oh, I haven't felt this since I was? We associate joy with childhood so often, but what did it feel like to pop up as an adult?
Well, because I was in the throes of grief, which I didn't even know that was a word I was allowed to use if I wasn't processing death. I mean, I'd been in therapy for, I don't know, 10 years. I thought I kind of had a handle on, you know, the spectrum of human emotions, if you will. And when my therapist said, well, you're grieving. And I said, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
And so to me, joy first registered as a bit of a glimmer in the middle of grief. Mm-hmm. And it was, I just remember saying to my mom, you know, this is working. These long walks with happy music, this is really helping me. And there were days I was looping that Town Lake Trail more than once. And then it started getting hot outside. And I was like, I'm waking up at 6 a.m. And I would wake up that early because I'm thinking, if I have something that is good for me, I'm moving my body, it's endorphins, it's happy music, and it's helping me process, and this grief is moving through my body, and it's time and nature, vitamin D, all the things, I have to cling on to this like it is my life raft, because it was. And you said, when did this kind of first register? And the very first song on Harry's third album, Harry's House, is called Music for a Sushi Restaurant. Do you know that song, Kendra?
Okay, I didn't until I read your book, and then I listened to it. It's so good.
It is.
I hadn't listened. I think I had, like, maybe heard it, but, like, when I was reading your book, I, like, immediately stopped reading, and I went on Spotify and played it.
Listen, that song will dry tears. Let me tell you, Kendra. I mean, you cannot be in a bad mood with Music for a Sushi Restaurant playing. It was the perfect track one placement intro to the whole album. So I would go to the trail instead of typing good energy. I'm like, I know where to find good energy. It's Harry Styles. And I would hit Music for a Sushi Restaurant, track one, step one, let's go for a long walk. And interestingly, this is before I even went to any of the shows. I remember vividly saying to my mom, this Harry Styles thing is working. You know, it's keeping me moving. And sometimes all that was left at the end of the day was a kitchen dance party with my dog. And it really was bringing me joy. I don't know if I could have used the word joy at the time, I think. But pretty early on, I think I was registering that, you know, what I was thinking of as a grief break really was joy peeking through the clouds.
A grief break. I like that. And I'm glad you said that. The word grief, I've had quite a few experts on more recently too about just talking about how grief, like going through a separation is grieving and how many different kinds of grief there are. So I think it is very important. And I love this idea of trying different things, seeing what works. That's why I love to have so many different stories and things on this podcast, because you just never know what's going to work. And I love that you tried it and then you stuck with it. When you said, like, okay, this is what's working for me, is I walk and I listen to Harry Styles. Did it ever feel silly to you? Like, I love that you're doing this, and I encourage everyone to try and find what works and then cling on to it. But I think some people might stop because they're like, this doesn't feel like a traditional means of dealing with a divorce.
Absolutely. A big theme in the book, and there are four parts to the book, And one of the themes is on the importance of protecting your joy and other people's joy, because the opposite of joyful, I suggest in the book that has many opposites. And one of them is judgmental. And not only are we judgmental of other people's joy, you know, oh, I don't get that person's so into this, or, oh, they're so basic, they love their coffee this way, or, you know, we hear that all the time. But so often we're also pointing fingers at ourselves and judging how joy shows up for us. And I think that really gets to your question. Was I ever judging my own joy? You know what? Things were so dark that I wasn't.
That's great.
I was like, hey, I'm going to take it and I'm not gonna even ask questions. And maybe this is all brand new, but hell, all of this is brand new. Divorce is also brand new to me. So why not throw something sparkly in the mix? And again, I really was registering that it was working and I wasn't in a place to question what or why and wasn't asking questions about it until I was. And then I was really reflecting on what is it that's working. And I'd like to suggest that so often I think we judge the what when we don't know the why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, and I'll own it, I really try to not be a judgmental person, but I'll admit in the past, I have judged Disney adults. There, I said it. That's something I never understood. I was like, why are you going to amusement parks for kids when you don't have kids? Like, what are you doing? It's like, I don't get it. But then I realized, oh, every single person there has some kind of connection to Disney.
Yeah.
I don't know their why. I'm judging their what. So I've gotten curious instead of judgmental, and I've asked people who love Disney. I'm like, can you explain that to me? I don't think that's something I really understand. And one of my friends said, well, I lost my dad to cancer a few years ago, and all of our happiest family memories are at Disney. And that's where I go to feel closest to him and think about my happiest memories with my dad. And I'm like, yeah, that is a great example of I was judging the what and I don't know the why. And I think this whole Harry Styles thing where I've gotten so much judgment of my what. And I'm like, but you don't know the why. You don't know why I love this so much and the people that I've met and the friendships and the adventure and all this, that he's one person. All these experiences I have associated with his music is a whole other attachment. And so for me, that was really what got me so fired up to write about this idea in the book, is life is really hard. And we need to be really gentle with each other of how we're finding joy, because it's different for everyone. And I certainly don't have to understand it to champion it now. You know, Renaissance fairs, I have no idea why people are into Renaissance fairs. But I'm like, hell yeah, baby, pass me a turkey leg. Because there's one rule in the book. And if your joy, someone's joy source, is not harming them or anyone else, let's go. Yes. Yeah. I am so glad you're into bird watching. I'm so glad you're into gardening and baking and Star Wars conventions and like online gaming. Whatever it is, if it's not harming you or anyone else, I say let's roll.
I feel like I've definitely been in that position too. And honestly, if I'm being honest with myself, I think a lot of it is I don't really feel like I have like hobbies, or it's very hard for me to point to something like that brings me so much excitement and love. And so I think sometimes it's like, oh, if I don't have that, so then I'm going to judge other people for having that. When in reality, it's like, oh, I could use that as an inspiration or as an expander for me to say, like, how cool is it that like you have something that when you have free time, like, you know what you want to go do. Like, you have something that's going to make you so excited to, like, one of my best friends just got into needle pointing. And she's like, I can't wait for nighttime because I can sit and needle point for like an hour. And that makes me so happy. And it's like, I think a lot of it probably comes from not having it on your own and maybe having like, you know, a shot, like a not shame, but like judging yourself for not having something. And then it's easy to turn that around on other people.
Absolutely. And that's why this third theme in the book about the importance of protecting your joy and others, it is those two parts, your joy and others. You know, we've got to be gentle with ourselves and gentle with other people. You know, it's funny you mentioned needle pointing. I actually shout that out in the book because I talk about how you might have read that part. I feel like I hear people judge their own joy sources all the time. People say, you know, it's so weird, but like, I really like K-pop. I know it's so weird, but I really like needlepointing. I know it's so weird, but I like to golf. And when someone said to me, I like to golf, isn't that weird? I looked at her and I'm like, who's going to break it to her that she has chosen the most conventional pastime? The most traditional, conventional. And it was me. I decided to tell her. And I said, you do know that is like the most popular and conventional and like, you know, form of joy or pastime or whatever. And she was like, oh, I mean, like, I guess you're right. It just feels so weird that I like it so much. And I'm like, where did we pick that up? So I just think it's a fun kind of conversation to open and have. And I find that it's shocking to me the number of people who say, I just don't know what I love. I don't know what I like anymore. And I would suggest to anyone going through a breakup, as you are grasping for those straws, as you are rebuilding, be gentle with yourself and gentle with others, because who knows what might come along. It could be a 29-year-old British pop star who just floats in and change your life. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people who are going through a breakup, and this was actually one of my questions, is like, what advice do you have for someone who has really relied on finding joy in other people? And how do we start changing that to like, oh, I can find this for myself? Because I do think a lot of people, when they're going through a breakup, they're like, oh, I relied so much on this other person for my happiness and ideas of things to do. What advice do you have for someone who wants to start cultivating that themselves?
So I am a big proponent of trying new things. And the reason why is because I was listening to some of your old podcasts earlier, and one of the questions was, you know, how do you get over an ex? And part of me thinks grief is kind of a fixed ingredient in the smoothie of our day, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I always talk to friends. I'm like, every day is like a smoothie, and you just like have different things involved. You are actually in a significant amount of control of what you add into that blend and into that mix. You're going to think about your person that you've lost a fixed amount. Throw in some other things. You know,
Three
ingredients. What are you adding? How are you shifting out this smoothie? And you know what? Because again, a lot of it is fixed. The beautiful thing about doing something new, I think, is because, or the beautiful thing about doing something new is you're not so-and-so's ex. Someone said to me, have you made new friends yet post-divorce? And I was like, I have plenty of friends. I've lived in Austin for years. All my best friends are here. And they said, no, I think you should make some new friends. I'm kind of like, whatever. These are my ride or die people. This is my strong community. And then all of a sudden, when I started making new friends, and I'm not knocking how amazing my old friends are. I mean, those are my people. But once I started making new friends, you know, I wasn't just the girl who used to practice law, and I wasn't the one who is this person's neighbor or was this neighbor or was this ex-wife, or, you know, all those identities just really weren't at the forefront of these new relationships. And it was so freeing. One of the things about the Harry Styles adventures, that if we want to take it to a deeper level of why were those concerts so cathartic, to be completely anonymous in a crowd of people made me ask myself, who am I in every single room I walk into? Again, I'm not the former lawyer. I'm not this person's cousin. I'm not, you know, I come from this big family. I'm usually someone's sister, cousin, you know, et cetera. I've got lots of relatives. And again, I'm not the ex-wife, and I'm not the former sister-in-law. And I wasn't the girl that went to this or that school or used to have this or that job. And it made me ask myself, okay, who am I in every single situation I walk into? And that did more for my confidence than just about anything else I could have done, because, you know, I'm meeting people in such an authentic, genuine way where there is no context, and it was just grounded in this really pure commitment to kindness and just kind of like being really good to the people around you. And it just was transformational, you know, because that grief came with so much identity stripping.
Yeah.
That I was grappling with no longer being the one that was practicing law after pivoting my career. I was grappling with no longer being a wife. I was no longer an aunt. I was no longer a daughter-in-law. I was no longer a sister-in-law. You know, all this shifting and these labels and identities were swirling around and being stripped away. And it's like I leaned into that and had the courage to say, okay, what if we go further? What if I am just an anonymous person at a concert? What value do I bring? And it really was so restorative. So again, I think for people going through a breakup, embrace something new. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You try kickball and you hate it. Okay, cool. You try going to like one of these great, there's so many interesting book clubs, like online book clubs that meet in person in different cities. I've met someone invited me to one and I said, well, I haven't read the book, but like, who cares? I'll show up. I have nothing to lose. And I owned it. I was like, hi, I'm SC. I moved here last week. This is when I moved to Nashville. I had never even heard of the book title until today. I have not read a single page, but I'm down for a good time. And I'm excited to hear what you guys thought of the book. If you liked it, maybe I'll pick it up. I mean, and they were laughing so hard. They were like, that's so weird that you would come. And I was like, is it though? I'm like looking at people. And so, but what's the harm? What's the worst case scenario of going to somebody? Those people were not talking to me about divorce. They were not talking to me about my intense career pivot that I was going through. But I loved it because, and I'm still friends with some people I met that night. And I just think you're going through such a shakeup when you're going through a breakup that to shake things up voluntarily is really empowering.
Yeah.
A lot of it feels involuntary. But if you can make it feel empowering and exciting to take something new on, I think it's a great stretch.
Did you know we spend a third of our lives in bed? It's a lot of time when you think about it, so I believe it's important to love your bed. And with March being Sleep Awareness Month, it's a great time to check out Avocado Green Mattress. I know as you're navigating your breakup, especially if it's new, you may become hyper aware of your bed, thinking about how it used to be yours and your ex's bed or one that you shared a lot of time in together. I remember after my last breakup, my bed was one of the first things I wanted to switch out. Avocado is not only crafted with certified organic latex, wool, and cotton, ensuring a safe, healthy sleep environment free from harmful chemicals and toxins, but they also have unmatched comfort and support for all sleep preferences. I need a soft mattress, and Avocado has everywhere from plush to extra firm depending on your needs. And Avocado is committed to sustainability. Their mattresses are made from organic, eco-friendly materials that are good for both you and the planet. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes in addition to your breakup overwhelm? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And these hormone disruptors are on top of the natural hormone changes we go through. And even though it is a natural process, it doesn't mean it doesn't wreak havoc on us. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore. Thanks to Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal changes in women of all ages. I love that Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
That smoothie thing that you said is going to stick with me. I think that's incredible. And yeah, like if your life is in chaos, adding some fun, spontaneous chaos into your life. It does. It's going to make you feel more in control. And like you said, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, you really do have nothing to lose. Were you always someone that was like that and like a curiosity? Because you are such a curious person. Is that something that came during that time, or is that something you've always had?
Well, I've always loved people. I love storytelling and I love people. I'm the kind of person that I'm not going to like bother my airplane seatmate, but if they want to talk, I'm like, AirPods out, let's
go. Yes.
Like, yes. Oh, I love a human interest story. Like, I have held more people's hands on airplanes as they tell me their life story. And I'm just like, I am in my element. This is the best. But I guess one of my favorite questions to ask myself when I'm feeling insecure or I'm evaluating what my fears are in any situation, it's like, oh, let's say I'm afraid of being judged. My question I ask myself is, okay, then what?
You're judged, then what?
Then what? Okay. Like then what? What? Like, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I'm looking like a mess going to the grocery store. Oh, I might run into someone I know. I'm like, then what? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's not much more after what's perceived to be this big fear. Okay, I'm going to go to a book club. Like, I'm just going to own it that I never read this book. And I'm just here to make friends because I'm new to this city. All right, they think I'm weird. I'm like, then what? These people that I could easily never see again think that girl they met one time. If they're still thinking about me, I mean, like, that's on them. You know what I'm saying?
Then they don't have a very interesting life.
But like, then what? If they think I'm weird, then they don't want to be my friend. Oh, okay. That's cool. Because I actually only want to be friends with people who want to be my friend. Easy filter system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, oh, I might embarrass myself if I go to a yoga class. I'm not very good at yoga. Then what?
I love that. Then what? Yeah. That's such a great question to ask. Yeah. And that, I think that applies really well to people who are used to going and doing everything with a partner. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to go try to do this by myself. And it's like, what if I'm judged? Then what?
Then what?
Then what?
If I'm not having fun, then what? Oh, you leave. Yeah.
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 You don't like kickball. You just don't. You don't go again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've touched a little bit on the like the framework that you lay out in the book, but I just want to, I would love if you could just run through it a little bit. We've talked about the third part, which the protect, I just said third and threw up too. So for the listener.
Okay.
So can you walk through a little bit about like the framework of cultivating joy?
Absolutely. So this big question in my mind became, how do we maximize joy in all of our lives? And I use this phrase, yours, mine, and ours, throughout the book, because this is such a celebration of joy as a concept, just and as an experience and as a feeling, how it shows up for you and me and all of us. Because I suggest in the book that more joy for you means more joy for me. We all should want more joy in the world. That's pretty simple and obvious in my mind. So I suggest that we maximize joy in all of our lives through four kind of pillars. One, when we cultivate joy in our own lives. The big question, what brings you joy? And are you paying attention to it? Two, is when we adopt others' joy as our own. And this is all about how, you know, I was feeling so much had been stripped out of my life and I started looking for joy in the wild is what I call it. So people laughing in a restaurant, like I'm going to start noticing that when I'm feeling really down in the dumps because I'm like, there it is. There's joy. Okay, it's out there. I might not be feeling it myself, but I'm happy to see it show up. Part three is we discussed protecting your joy and other people's joy. And part four is the importance of spreading joy. So CAPS, cultivate, adopt, protect, and spread is the fourfold framework. And it's easy to remember. There's a little helpful acronym that joy is maximized in all of our lives when we live joyfully in all caps. So CAPS is the CAPS framework.
I love that. So I like the idea of noticing joy in other people, because I think it's so easy when you are going through the breakup to feel like I have nothing or like there's no happiness around me. And I remember I had a mentor, I've shared this before, but I had a mentor who said, like, if you don't have any hope for yourself, you can borrow the hope I have for you because I know you're going to be fine. Like, I know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to be fine. So you can borrow the hope that I have for you. And being able to say, like, okay, I'm not feeling joy within myself, but if I watch, you know, I have like a couple like stand-up comedy routines that I probably have memorized because I just listened to it so many times, but it's like those things bring me joy. Hearing laughter brings me joy. Watching like cute animals on TikTok brings me joy. So like having those, like the concept of joy vitamins, like having something that you can like always go to get a little dose, I imagine is very important too.
Absolutely. So the joy vitamins show up in part one on Cultivate. I suggest that when you're really going through it, infusing joy into your morning routine is a huge life hack. Like, I dare every listener going through a bad breakup, I dare you to play the happiest song you know while you brush your teeth every morning. I dare you.
Mm-hmm.
Because our early morning habits dictate the tone of our day. We know that. That's data-backed. For example, if you make a healthy breakfast choice, you are more likely to continue to make healthy nutritional choices throughout the day. Admiral McRaven talks about the value of making your bed. If you make your bed first thing every morning, you are setting yourself up for a productive day. I would suggest, in that same vein, if you infuse joy into your early morning routine, you are priming yourself for a joy-filled day. For me, I sing a breakfast song to my dog. It's ridiculous, and I'm not sorry. And I dance around my kitchen when I feed my dog breakfast because I know I am starting my day off on the right foot. I'm dancing, he's acting like it's the best meal of his life, he eats the same thing twice a day, who cares, he's into it, I'm into it, we're having fun. We are having fun early in the morning. And so that's kind of on the importance of kind of infusing joy into your routine. But what you also mentioned is the importance of adopting others' joy. And this, I think, is critically important for anyone going through a breakup. Jealousy is a huge enemy of joy. Jealousy is a major joy robber. I write in the book about, I introduce this concept of adopting others' joy kind of in two ways. The first is pretty simple, joy in the wild. Going to all these Harry Styles concerts, I was just like, I was loving being in this energy of all these people having fun. I'm like, oh my God, look at those girls' hand-painted Van sneakers that they painted just for this show. Look at that bedazzled jacket. You know, if any listeners went to Eras Tour, you know this feeling of abundance that I'm talking about. But all of a sudden, coming out of this intense grief season, I'm like, wow, it is so unserious to watch adults do the wave around a stadium. This is like amazing. And coming out of the pandemic, when we were robbed of all these communal and collective experiences to experience joy together. So it was kind of this twofold timing thing for me. Not only was I coming out of a really hard season, we all were. And I was looking for joy in the wild in a way I never had. I'm like, those girls are tying feather boas together to jump rope with strangers. This is so beautiful. There it is, joy in the wild. So I talk about that as kind of teeing up this idea of adopting others' joy as our own can be a form of taking our joy vitamins. However, it gets more complicated, and this I really want to hammer in for people going through a breakup. It's simple to look at strangers and say, oh, look, there it is, joy in the wild. Like, you know, that's precious, that's cute. Little, you know, kids laughing on a playground, joy in the wild, fine. It's much more complicated when people are in close proximity to you who have something that you're jealous of, for example, a healthy relationship. I write about this concept that I learned in art history, and it's all about borrowing views. So it comes from East Asian landscape design, and I'm not going to go into all the details of that. But this idea is, if your neighbor has a gorgeous tree on the other side of the fence line, you don't want to build something that's going to block that tree. That tree is actually part of your garden. It's on the other side of the fence, but the beauty is spilling over into your backyard view. So that came back to me, this concept of borrowed views. The Japanese word is shikai. That's the title of the chapter. It came back to me when I was freshly divorced, and it was the first Christmas, and I was checking my mailbox every day at what I call the divorce landing pad, my temporary, you know, housing situation, which was perfectly fine, but super depressing. I didn't want to make it home. I didn't want to be there. It was this temporary spot. And as I went out to the mailbox every day to gather Christmas and holiday cards, I'm thinking to myself, okay, here is the green envy monster. This is so hard. Like, I miss being the person sending the holiday cards. I miss, and now I'm by myself. And, you know, I, for the first time in 8 years without my partner, and I made a very conscious and active decision. I said, I am going to put up these holiday cards with the greatest joy possible. And that is intentional joy. Because I am consciously choosing to borrow these views. This might not be what's growing in my garden right now. Mm-hmm. I had ripped up a lot. I had unearthed the plant bed of my career. I had torn up the plant bed of my relationship and chucked it out with divorce. I had a lot of fresh soil and not much was growing. And further, as I write in the book, I didn't even know what seeds I wanted to plant next. My garden was looking pretty depressing. However, all along my fence line, I had these beautiful borrowed views. Friends with healthy babies, friends in amazing marriages, friends getting engaged and married and job promotions and all these things that I felt like I was lacking. And I decided I am going to let this joy fill me up, because what I don't want is more scarcity. What I don't want is more divorce. I don't want more breakups. I don't want infertility. I don't want job loss. I don't want any of these things for anyone else. All of these things are adding more joy in the world. And if you adopt this idea that more joy is better for all of us, it really gets you out of this scarcity mindset. Because primal thinking goes like this. They have it. Therefore, I can't and won't. Mm-hmm. Primal thinking is that guy at that altar, ugh, it means one less guy out there for me. No. Joyful thinking says, I'm glad to see good things happening, period.
Yeah.
Because that guy at that altar is obviously not my guy. That actually has nothing to do with me. Joyful thinking says, actually, that's one less guy on the market for me to be confused by. Like, that is one less person on my radar that I need to evaluate in the dating pool. You know? And I just think it's so freeing to begin to think like that and live. You know, an extreme example is The Handmaid's Tale. We do not want life out here looking like The Handmaid's Tale. We want all the abundance and all the goodness. Because imagine how much scarier it would be if everyone had just gone through a break. You know, if everyone was in your boat and everyone's vying for the same and everyone, you know, it's like, no. We all thrive when there's more abundance. And to me, I just will never forget looking at those holiday cards being like, let's go, home team. Look at us out here. Home team's crushing it. I love it. I'm personally not crushing it right now. You know what? That's fine. In due time, in this season of rebuilding.
That's beautiful. And I, like you said, very, very poignant for people going through, especially I think a lot of listeners are in that time period of like being in their 30s where they're going through a breakup or like their best friend just got engaged or, you know, they're having to go to a wedding. And I love that. I love that of like, okay, I have to go to a wedding solo. It's like, okay, I can choose this to be something where it's like, oh, everyone knows I just went through a separation or a divorce, or it's like, weddings are so fun and so joyful to be able to just attend and, you know, soak up that energy. So I really, really like that perspective shift.
And isn't it great in a season of a breakup to go to an environment where love is in the air?
Yeah.
That's exactly where we should be. That is the vibe. And how sad would it be? Because, and again, I know I forgot my typical caveat when I talk about this. This is easier said than done. Let's be clear. I'm not saying this is some foolproof method and I crush it all the time and I'm never jealous because I'm thinking about bar. And I'm out here just zen. And I'm like, I love this, you know, dumpster fire. No, no. However, what I can represent to you, listener, is I have never once regretted that this mindset is an option. It's a tool, not a surefire recipe, but it is a tool. And I don't know, I just think this concept of adopting others' joy, it's not, I'm happy for you. Ugh. Like if I was out here saying, just be happy for other people, I would click myself off on Spotify. I'd be like, that guest was so annoying. It's even bolder than that. I'm not just happy for you. I am. I'm happy for me that I get to borrow this view. Because in fact, it has nothing to do with me. You know, it just doesn't. That guy at the altar is not your guy.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah. And I think when you're going through a breakup, it's so easy to like get in this tunnel of, I really hate the word self-pity, but like it's just so easy to personalize everything because it does, like when I can say it till the cows come home that a breakup isn't personal, but it feels so personal. It's like literally done to you, but it's so easy to like feel like everything's happening at you or everything's happening for everyone else except you. It's just like it's so easy to make it feel like you are the center of the universe in a bad way, you know?
Absolutely. And there is another chapter in the book I'd like to talk about to our breakup, you know, listeners. And that's about the loud single message. The loud single message is the what I like to call the societal pressure that is pushing you to not be single. The loud single message comes in the form of people being like, don't worry, you'll find someone someday. You're like, okay, like, yeah. Or you're not seeing someone, well, aren't you this age? Or any form of pressure that is telling you you should not be single. Let's call it the loud single message. Now, we are under the impression that the loud single message is the only loud message. And once you're in a relationship, you don't hear the loud single message anymore and you just get to go home with your new partner. And it's like, ding, the cake is baked. It's all good. I say that the loud single message is like someone on a microphone and you're trapped in this theater and then you're dating someone or you're married or you're engaged or whatever it is and you leave the theater and you go home. That's not the case. You stay in the theater. Life is the theater. And the reason the loud single message is like so desperate for you to settle down is because the loud single message is being backed up by tons of other messages waiting in the wings that cannot get on the microphone until the loud single message exits stage left. Once you're in a relationship, your partner's sitting next to you in the theater, and then you guys are hearing the, when are you getting engaged message. Then you're hearing the, when are you getting married? Where are you getting married? How big is your wedding? Have you done the blah, 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 blah. Then you're married. Then it's, are you guys going to buy a house? Then you're having babies. Are you going to have another baby? Oh, you have a doula? That's so granola of you. You don't have a doula? Oh, you didn't buy the doona stroller? You should buy this stroller. They don't stop. They do not stop. The reason the loud single message is the one we are all so familiar with is it is the oldest of the messages that we have heard for so long. We started hearing the loud single message when we were watching Disney cartoons. You know, the messages aren't like, oh, did Sleeping Beauty's kids get into the right preschool? We didn't get there, okay? Because we just fed this one thing. And anyone will tell you, anyone in a serious relationship, if they're being honest, will tell you that the messages don't stop.
No.
They don't stop. Oh, like, are your kids, are they going to Ivy Leagues? Do they have their sports scholarship? Has your husband gotten a promotion? Have you gotten a promotion? This shit does not stop.
It doesn't.
And here's what I would like to say about the messages. You get to control who's on the microphone. You get to set your goals, not the messages. Period. If you want to get married, if you want the white picket fence, blah, 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 all that stuff. If you want all that, great. If you don't, great. But don't listen and don't get thrown off. You're not behind. And here's the thing I'll say about timing. Let's say you want to get married. First of all, everyone should ask themselves why and do some deep introspection before they're dating. But if that is your end goal, partnership versus marriage, and really untangling what that looks like for you and why. But here's the thing about timing. If you accept, step one, that whatever you want in life is going to happen, that's step one. Maybe it's you want 10 kids, and you just say, I'm going to have 10 kids. Maybe you say, I want to be vice president of this bank. Whatever your goal is, I don't know. You insert your goal right here. Every single morning you wake up, given the nature of time, you have never been closer to that goal. Isn't that exciting?
I love that.
Isn't that exciting? You've never been closer. And the question is, so what are you going to do in the meantime? Because we are not out here sitting around. Yeah. Absolutely not. I think single women should live their lives like they're never going to be in a relationship. Go make it as lit as possible. Because guess what? The odds are you are going to be in a relationship someday. And let me tell you what that's like. You're going to miss those days of eating popcorn and watching Bravo with your girls doing face masks on Friday night.
I miss it. I will tell you, I miss it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My friends, it's really fun to be in my 30s. Like, I'm 34 in a few weeks. It's such a fun age to be because I'm hearing from people in their late 30s and early 20s. I got friends across the spectrum and they're like, oh man, I would do anything to go to Vegas. Can someone watch my kids? I just want to go to Vegas. My friends in their early 20s, they're like, I'm so burned out of Vegas. I just want to be in a relationship and pop out a bunch of babies yesterday.
You're you know like, here, meet each other.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys should chat. I think gratitude for the season you're in. And oh my gosh, that's so trite. I could like puke in my mouth. Like that's so cheesy. But sometimes things are trite because they're true. These things you hear all the time, eye roll, whatever. Oh, be the best version of yourself so you're ready to be in a relationship. Oh my gosh, so annoying, right? Girls are like, okay, I've been like on my game, doing my thing for 10 years now, you know? Okay, the cake is baked. I'm ready. Okay. But my point is, life's flying by and you have to make the most of every season. I recently started seeing someone. It's early. We don't need to get into it. But I'm already grieving my single days. I'm like, wait. Hang on. I'm like, but just for the record, I have solo kitchen dance parties in the morning. And like, that's just my thing. You know, I'm like, you better not have a problem with that because that's part of my joy routine. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm like, all that good single goodness because it's so real. And again, I just feel like if you're listening and you've been through a breakup or you're excited to be in a relationship and you're single, next time you order DoorDash, next time you have no plans on a Saturday, relish in it. Relish in it. For me, coming out of a divorce, I was like, hold on. I never thought I'd have this level of autonomy and freedom again. It is lit out here. And this is how a lot of my divorced friends feel. We're like, these single girls just don't even know. Look at these free agents out here.
Yeah.
They can go where they want. They can eat what they want. They can do what they want. They're sleeping till 1 p.m. Go
oh my
off.
God. Yeah.
Live your yeah. best. Because if you accept that what you want in life is going to happen, your days are numbered. Enjoy them while they last.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I remember I had someone tell me that, like, you are going to have a time where you really miss that freedom. And let me tell you, it happened. And it's so true. I'm in a group text and three of us have kids and are married and two are single. And, like, all of us are like, tell us what you did this weekend, please. Let me just at least, like, live vicariously through your fun weekend, because I literally like just sat around with kids and, you know, and I can.
Beautiful.
Yeah, which is beautiful and like what I wanted and all of that. But I think it's very important and I really want to be your friend. You're so fun. And we're like the same age. I turned 34 in a couple months, but we're close.
Amazing.
We're close. So anyways, I Love talking to you. So many good little nuggets from this episode, and your book is full of so many more. So I hope everyone goes out and orders your book, Styles of Joy. Essie, this has been so fun. You're so fun. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your joy and spreading your joy.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor to be on, and this is just my favorite subject. I could go on and on and on and on, all the things. So if we want to do a part two of rebuilding,
would love that.
Yep, we can go all through my methods. They're not in the book, so this would be a little bonus content. Book's all about joy, but I do have some hot sports opinions on dating and getting back out there post-breakup. So.
All right, let's do a part two. This was amazing. So thank you again. And yeah, we'll definitely have you back.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Kendra.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.